Going to start here at the bottom of Pe'alavon Bet, three lines from the bottom. Gemara now is going to discuss in the Mishnah some of the items that were enumerated in the Mishnah, the Gabe Rabbi Shimon, as being a Shkitasha and a Ruya. Is that really the case? The first one they challenge is Ufarat Chatat. Farat Chatat is the Paraduma. Gemara says, Shkitasha and a Ruyahi. Is it really classified as a Shkitasha and a Ruya according to Rabbi Shimon? Veha Tanya. We have a Tosefta. The Rabbi Shimon Omer, para mitam'a tumat ochlim. We saw this in Minachot together, but that Rabbi Shimon believes that the para does have tumat ochlim. Now that's very strange, because we know what happens with the para aduma. The para aduma is nishkat on hara mishka, on hara zeitim, and then it's burnt on a pyre. At one point in time, does it become ra'ui la'achila, that it should be classified as tamei tumat ochlim? The answer to that is, the Tosefta says, Ho'il, v'ayta la'shata kosher. There was a point in time where it could have been ra'ui la'achila. And remember, in Rabbi Shimon's Shita, we saw this a couple of days ago, we mentioned it, that kol ha'omid lizrok, kizaruk dami, kol ha'odata ki'iluha. Rabbi Shimon completes, if an action could have been completed, as if it was done. So over here too, by the para aduma, the reason that it could be ochel, because it had a shata kosher. There was a moment in time where it could have been ochel. What's that? Va'amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Omer haya Rabbi Shimon. Para niftet agave marachata. The reason for that is, because Rabbi Shimon believes that if you find a better para aduma, you're allowed to redeem the para aduma, even when it's on its pyre. Even when it's being burnt up, you can redeem it at that time. Finds a nicer one. Afilu agav marachata. It's sitting on the pyre. Afilu shachta geuchata marechet shalitzim. Shinishchata aleha. Does the shchita. He's on the pyre, about to light it. I think once the fire catches the rubo, then he can't reverse it. But at that point in time, he can change his mind. So Rabbi Shimon believes, and this is what we just said before, kol ha'omid liftot. Kipadui dami. Since it had the ability to be redeemed, then it's as if redeemed. When I say as if redeemed, that means that there was a point in time where it could have been ochel. It's a point in time where before it moved on to being full-fledged para aduma, there's a moment in time where it could have been redeemed. We look at it as if redeemed. As if redeemed, then it would be ra'ui for achila. So because of that, according to Rabbi Shimon, the para aduma is mitama tumat ochlim. So first of all, the only way it can be mitama tumat ochlim is if it was a kosher shchita. Because the assumption is, of course, there is a kosher shchita haru'uya here, because it's going to be a kosher para aduma. You could only make it into tumat ochlim if it was ra'ui la'achila. It was ra'ui la'achila because you could have been podet. Well, you could have been podet, that means it was a good shchita. So that would make it shema shchita. So the answer to this problem is, Amar Rabbi Shemin bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan, parat chatat eina mishnah. Not a problem. It's not part of the mishnah. It was wrong. Parat chatat should not be in the mishnah. Drop it. Amend the mishnah not to have parat chatat in it, because you're right. Eino chanami, Rabbi Shimon the shita tell, Parat Chatat is a Shchita Shehi Re'uya. The Rashi asks a basic question here. He gives one answer. Then Tosafot discusses that answer and really modifies the answer a little bit. Rashi says, why do I need Tamei Tumat Ochlim by Parat Duma? We know the rule by Parat Duma. And Rashi says, V'kasha Lamali Kabbalat Duma Hi Gufa Mitama Adam. The Parat Duma itself is Mitamei people. So why do I need to have it be Tamei Tumat Ochlim? What's Tamei Tumat Ochlim going to do for me if the Parah Adumah right, can be Mitameh Adam, Mitameh people? If anybody's involved in the Parah Adumah, the process of putting the Parah Adumah on it till it's consumed, Rashi wants to know what's the Nafkamina. So Rashi says, I'll give you a Nafkamina. We know that in order for Ochlim to convey Tum'ah, they have to be the size of a Kabetza. So what happens if I have a little less than a Kabetza of dough, and wrapped up inside of it is a little piece of Parah Adumah? So you can't get to direct contact with this piece of para aduma, this tiny piece of para aduma that's in the middle, but it could be mitzarif to the remainder, the batzeik, the dough that's around it, and make it into kabetzat ochlim. That's what Rashi says is the nafkamina. That when you can't come into direct contact with this, but it could be mitzdarev to make it into a kebetzat ochlim. That's Rashi's answer to the problem. Tosafot says on this, I don't understand. Eini rakushya zu. Rashi's question makes no sense. Who is nitma by the paraduma? It's not everybody who comes into contact with the paraduma that is nitma, but it's only hamit aspimba. It's those people that are involved with the paraduma that become a tameh. But the people who are not mitasek with it, or items that are not mitasek with it, they don't become tameh. So maybe the tumat ochlim is for instances where it's not somebody or something that is mitasek in the paraduma. And it will convey tumah to those items, individuals who are not mitasek in the paraduma. So it says, I don't understand why Rashi had to come to that answer. So then he says, miu, yesh lomar de data kuntrus. He goes, tries back, and goes to explain Rashi. Kevan de mitameh adamu begadim. Since the paraduma, and when it's involved, or people who mitasek ba are involved with it, it's mitameh tumah chamura. It's not just mitameh, it's mitameh tumah chamura, which means it affects the individual, as well as their clothing. And we know the principle that we've established before is im kein kaven to sofo the tamei tuma chamura mitama tuma tochlim. Since in the end it is mitamei tuma chamura, if it's mitamei tuma chamura to the individuals who are mitasekba, then even to those that are not mitasekba, it should be mitamei tuma tochlim. That's a principle that we have, that wherever sofo the tamei tuma chamura mitamei tuma tochlim. That's a principle. But Tosu backs away from that and says, wait a minute, that's not what the real principle is. We've learned this principle before. What's the principle? Something that sofo l'tamei tumah chamura does not require hechsher for tumah tochlim, for tumah kala. It still has to get or receive the tumah kala. But all it doesn't require is hechsher l'kabel tumah. So he says, okay, that's not a good solution. But now I have another solution, which is tumah shesofo l'tamei tumah chamura. It doesn't require hechsher to come into ochel. It doesn't make it into ochel. Doesn't make it tameh. That's why you need the shata kosher to make it into ochel. It doesn't need hechsher mayim. That doesn't make it into ochel. So what the Shat HaKosher does for us is it makes it into ochel. So this is what Tosfot says in the end. Eino achanami, that in terms of hechsher the kavel tuma, I don't need a hechsher by the paraduma, because sofo to the mitamei tuma chamura, at least for the mitaskimba. Therefore, there's no requirement of hechsher by this paraduma. I would have thought that was it, we're done. But Tosfot distinguishes and says, just because it's machshirit, doesn't make it into an ochel. And so what the shata kosher does here is makes it into an ochel. So now if I have both of them, I have the fact that it's going to be sofolo tamei tuma chamura. Plus, it's mukshar the kabel tuma because of that. And now I've been machshivit as an ochel. Now it'll be mitama. It's now ochel. That's already mukshar. And sofolo tamei tuma chamura, then it can convey tuma. And so that's the answer to Rashi's query as to why is it important if he considered ochel over here. Because it's mitameh everything else anyway. It's mitameh without it being ochel. So Tosafot says, well, we have to distinguish between mitaskimba and not mitaskimba. But I can still use Rashi's idea, which is that the fact that it's going to be sofo tumah chamura does have impact on it. It removes the need for hechsher lekabel tumah. The shata kosher makes it into ochel, and therefore it can now be mitamei without any additional happening to this para adumah, because it has hechsher lekabel tumah, it's ochel, and now it can affect others that are not mitaskimba. That's also the answer. He kind of amends Rashi a little bit to work it out, but that's his idea of why you need this ochel, even though the para adumah is mitamei others. So he does like shiluv between his shita, or his question really, and Rashi's shita. Next part of the Gemara is, Ve'egla rufa, lav shkita ru'uyahi. Is egla rufa also considered to be a shkita shein ru'ya in terms of Rabbi Shimon's position? Vatznan, don't we have a Mishnah? Nimtza ha'horeg, if you find the murderer, ad shalot te'arif, before they cut off the head of the Egla Rufa, then the Egla is freed, and it goes back into the flock. It goes back to grazing in the flock. It's not killed. It's not considered to be sanctified. So Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Mishum Rabbi Yanai. Shimon Lakish is the name of Rabbi Yanai. Egla Rufa, Eina Mishnah. Again, eliminate Egla Rufa from our Mishnah. It should not be enumerated in our Mishnah. So Gemara says, Umi Amar Rabbi Yanai Hafi? Can Rabbi Yanai really say such a thing in the Shita of Rabbi Shimon? V'hamar Rabbi Yanai Gvul Shamati Ba. I heard that there's a border, there's a threshold in Para in the Egla Rufa. V'shachachti, and I forgot what it was, V'nas bin Chavraya Lomar. And my Chevra in the Beit Midrash reminded me or pushed me to say, Yirita l'nachleitan osrata. That there is a threshold at which point it's irreversible, the Egla Rufa, is once it's taken down to Nachal Eitan. That means if the murderer was found after the Egla Rufa was already taken down to Nachal Eitan, it doesn't go free and doesn't go back into its Eder. It's Nignas. It becomes something that is Asur Bahana. So if that's the case, Vim Ita, if that's true, according to Rabbi Yana Shita, Lishne, they could have answered. Rabbi Yana could have distinguished between our question of Shechita She'enu Ru'ya versus Shechita Ru'ya. We're suggesting over here it could be a Shechita Ru'ya because in the end, the Egla Rufa could be freed if we find the murderer. And again, remember, Rabbi Shimon says anything that is could be as if it's done. So until the point at the last moment, until the Shechita is done, the Egla Rufa is still Ru'ya. So until the Shechita, or it's really here, an Arifa is done, it could have been a kosher shechita. So why do we consider it to be psula? The answer will be, if there's a threshold like yirita l'nachal eitan, the answer I will give is, lishnei kan kodim yirita. When do we say it goes back to the eder and it's still considered to be just fine? That is, before it goes down to nachal eitan. Kan la'achar yirita. Our Mishnah is talking about a case after it's gone down to Nachal Eitan. At that point, there is no Shkita that will be Ksheira by it, because it's already at the point where it's an Asur Ba'ana, even if you find the Horeg. Gemara now says, all right, you know who was the author of that position? Amar Rabbi Pinchas, Derei Rav Ami, Anan Mishmei Rav Shimon Lakish, Matnidnan La. We have this in the name of Shimon Lakish. Egla Rufa in a Mishnah. We said that Egla Rufa does not belong in the Mishnah. So I'm Rav Ashi, ki avinan bei Rav Papi. We are learning by Rav Papi, kashalon. Me am Rav Shimon ben Lakish hochi. Could Rav Shimon Lakish really be the author of such a position that we would eliminate it from the Mishnah? Va itmar. Doesn't Rav Shimon Lakish say, tzipore mitzora? When it comes to the birds of the mitzora in order to be mitzora himself requires two birds. One of them that is nishchat, and one that is set free. Me'in matai ne'esarim. When does it become a sur? Obviously, we're talking about the one that is nishkat, the bird that is nishkat. The bird that goes free becomes mutar ba'ana after it's released. So the one that is nishkat, when does it become a sur? Rabbi Yochanan amar mishat shchita. Yochanan says, from the moment of shchita, it's already a surah. Rabbi Shimon Lakish amar mishat likicha. From the time it's bought. Well, if there's a threshold at which point the bird becomes a sur ba'ana, then you would be able to distinguish between things that are prior to the kicha and things that are after the kicha. But what does it have to do with us over here? V'amrinon, we say over there, my time with Rabbi Shimon Lakish. Where did Rabbi Shimon Lakish come up with this threshold of purchase? Gamar, kicha, kicha, me'egla arufa. He has a gzeira shava from egla arufa. Just like by egla arufa, it says, v'lachuzik ne'ayir. And by the shtei tziporim chayot, it says, v'lakach limit aher. It says there that there's lakicha. So I have a gzeira shava of lakicha, lakicha. So what's the threshold by egla arufa? The threshold by egla arufa is you read it down to Nachal Eitan. Is the taking it down to Nachal Eitan. Let's think about this by tziporim. By Tziporim, you don't have any Yirida l'Nachal Eitan. There are only two points of threshold, Shchita and Lekicha. So if I'm going to compare it to Egla Rufa, which is Yirida l'Nachal Eitan, which is prior to Shchita, what would I say that is by Tziporim? That's a Lekicha. So that's how Rav Shimon Lakish comes to Lekicha by Tziporim. But what do you see? That means that Rav Shimon Lakish also believes, like Rabbi Yanai, that what is the threshold for Egla Rufa? threshold to become a surbana is yirita l'nachleitan. So once again, I could have answered for Rabbi Shimon and Lakish the same way I answered by Rabbi Yanai, that our Mishnah is discussing the case of after yirita l'nachleitan. That's why it's a surbana. That's why it's a shkita she'en ruya. The case where it's a shkita ha-ri'uya, that's a case prior to yirita l'nachleitan. So Rabbi Shimon Lakish also could not be the author of an opinion that says, take it out of our Mishnah. Because according to them, they could come up with a way that it fits in our Mishnah without that being a stira to the Mishnah that says, Nimsa horeik, ad shelo teareik, that you can release it back to the Eder. So Gemara now finally comes up with a final solution. Amar Rabbi Chiya Barav, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Egla Rufa, Eina Mishnah. We have it authored by Rabbi Yochanan. That Egla Rufa is Eina Mishnah. Take it out of our Mishnah. And over here, we don't have any opinion of Rabbi Yochanan that would provide a stira, because Rabbi Yochanan does not have this threshold of Yirita l'nachleitan. Rabbi Yochanan by Tzipirei Mitzora says that Shechita is the threshold. And the same will be true by the Egla Rufa. The Arifa will be the threshold. If that's the case, you could have, quote unquote, a Shechita ha-ri'uya. Because until the final moment, until it's already flat on the ground, the Egla Rufa is the possibility of being released back to its Eder. And therefore you could possibly have a Shechita ha-ri'uya. And remember again, Shimon's of the opinion that anything that could have been released is as if released, and it means that any shechita that done would be a shechita ha-ri'uya. So therefore they eliminate, in this case, we eliminate both the parat ha-chatat and the egla rufa from our Mishnah in order to reconcile with the fact that Rabbi Shimon believes that those two items really do have a shechita ha-ri'uya. Right, Tosafot does ask a question, which is, well, let's start with the first of the questions is, aren't we doing an arifa over here and not a shechita? What are we talking about a shechita arua over here? There is arufa. It's not like you shech this egla arufa. You don't do a shechita on it, so you chop the back of its head off. So that could be the moment. At that moment, it already should be a surba. Now you don't have a shechita at all. Right? So then, can't I make a distinction? If I do a shechita, then it would be a shechita ha-ri'uya. If I do an arifa, that would be a quote-unquote shechita she'en ru'uya. That may not be so clear, because arifa metaheret midei nevela. Arifa is good enough to make sure that this doesn't become a nevela, which means it's functioning like shechita, in that it's metaheret midei nevela. So you see that it is functioning like a shechita, a full-fledged shechita. Hiksha aramoshe mibundish. Amai lo kamar. The shoche dematnitan, the shechita in our Mishnah is, I know, Oreif. Upotur Rabbi Shimon Shem Dlo Chazi L'Achila. You can't eat it. V'rabbonon Chayav. Because you have to explain the other side of the position. If Arifa, according to Rabbi Shimon, is quote unquote a shechita she'en ruya, that means according to the Chachamim, it is a shechita ha-ruya. Because they argue on Rabbi Shimon on these cases in our Mishnah. So what are you going to say? According to the Chachamim, Chayav Mishum, Darifa zu, hi shechita. That is the equivalent of shechita, like what we have by birds in Kodoshim, that when you do Malika, that's the equivalent of their shechita. And he brings an additional proof to this, by Seir Mishtaleach. The Seir Mishtaleach, dechiyato latzuk, hainu shechitato. The pushing of the Seir Mishtaleach over the edge of the cliff is the equivalent of its shechita. That's the moment of shechita for it. Yes, according to the Chachamim. Yes, that's exactly his point. It would fit in our Mishnah. We would say the Arifa, according to Rabbi Shimon, is classified as a Shechita Shein Ruya. The Chachamim disagree and say that Arifata Zuhi Shechitata, and then it would be subject to Oto Beno, according to the Chachamim. But that would at least reconcile for us Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, if he does a Shechita, in Okanaim it's a Shechita Ruya. If he does an Arifa, that's a Shechita Shein Ruya. And that will be the way to reconcile between our Mishnah and the Mishnah that says, Nimtzah Oreif, Ad Shelo Teareif. So Tozo, Teretz Rabbeinu Tam, Dim Kein Lo Avelei Mitnei HaShochet Ala Oreif. Our Mishnah says HaShochet, not HaOreif. He says, the whole question is on the premise that if you call the Shkil Shochet, it means really Oreif. So Rabbeinu Tam says, that's not what it says in our Mishnah. It doesn't say Oreif, it says Shochet. Now listen to this, V'dochaku, T'dil Matan HaShochet, Mishum Achrinen. There are other items. Egla Rufa is not the only item in the Mishnah. If you're going to use one term that captures everything that's mentioned in the Mishnah, you would use a shochet. Says, that's not really a good answer to the Reino Tam. And the Tosfot leaves this as a terechiyah. Right. It's not called Shkita, but it might function like Shkita. Like, just like Malika is not called Shkita, it still functions like Shkita. It has the same function, that it's a matir. Darifa mitaheret midei nevela. Arifa is good enough to make sure that this doesn't become a nevela, which means it's functioning like Shkita. Alright. Next Mishnah. Shnaim shlachu. Two people buy para uvna. The mother and the child. Ezu shlakach rishon, ishkot rishon. The person who buys first, shechs first. If the second one jumped the gun and shechted it, he wins the prize because he gets to eat that bema. And the first one is precluded from shechting that because he'll be in violation of oto ved bino. The idea being that a person can only sell the rights that they own. We have this in Nizikin a lot, that you can only sell or give over to another person the rights that you actually are entitled to. So had the owner sold one of the animals, for instance, the para, and kept the bina, and kept the child, then the person who purchases has the right to shecht first, because that's the reason he bought it. He bought it in order to shecht it for meat. That means that the ba'alim, the owners who sold him one and kept the other, their rights are subordinated to the first one he sold it to. Therefore, when he sells the second animal, he sells it with the rights that he has. What are the rights that he has? He has rights that are behind the rights of the first purchaser. So the second purchaser, even though when we say a purchaser comes and buys, he buys it to shecht it, but he also can only buy what rights the owner has. And this point, since the owner's rights are subordinated to the first purchaser, the second purchaser, when he buys it, he's also subordinated to the rights of the first owner. Now, Amar Rav Yosef, le'inyan dina tnan. Our Mishnah is not just like a nice suggestion. It's not an issue of Isser and Heter. It's an issue of Beit Din. If we come to Beit Din and you want to adjudicate the case, they bring it, we both want to shecht their animals, Beit Din will pass in halacha that it's the right of the first person. So this is, again, like a monetary right, which what we just explained. There are rights here that are sold, and the second's rights are really subordinated to the first purchaser's rights. And therefore, Beit Din would pass in halacha that the first one gets the right to shecht first. Now, Tana, im kodam hasheni, harizah zariz v'niskar. The second one goes as in shecht, he's zariz, he was expedient in doing it, v'niskar, and he benefited. Zariz, delovadi surah. He's a zariz because he didn't end up doing an isur because he shechted first. So he doesn't have a problem with tove b'no. V'niskar, dekach obisra. And he benefited because he's the one who's going to be eating his meal today. Because he's the one who shechted first, the other one's now precluded from shechting on that day. So im kodam hasheni, the first one's blocked out. So what does it mean in our Mishnah, im kodam hasheni zacha? So Mishnah Gemara, come and explain, what does it mean zacha? Zacha means that he benefited in that, number one, he didn't do an isur, and number two is, he can eat his meat on that day. Not that he has a right to do so, but if he's done it already, those are the benefits that he garners.
So what is the
you want to adjudicate what the rights are, the first one has the rights. This second guy went ahead and jumped the gun, we can't do anything anymore, it's already done. What's done is done, we can't change that. Next Mishnah, Shachat para, v'chag kach shnei baneha. He shechs the para, and then both of its children, sofeg shmonim. He will get 80 over here. It's oto ve'beno on both of the children. Shechat shnei bana, what about the other way around? Shechted both of the children, v'achar kach shechta, and then afterwards he shechts the mother. Sofeg et arbaim. There only gets one, there's only one violation, because there's only one goof that you're shechted. At the moment that it's oto ve'beno, there's only one shechita. Shechta ve'et bita, ve'et bat bita. Shechts an animal, its daughter, and its granddaughter. Sufeg shmonim. Over there you're going to get 80. One for the mother, meaning the grandmother here, and one for the daughter of the grandmother, because each one of them is a mother to a child, and you've shechted the child of each of those. You have three generations here, and you've shechted all of them. Only one of them was nitar, only one of them is mutar. But over here, since you shechted all three of them, you're going to be chayav for two of them, for oto ve'beno. Sufeg shmonim. Shechta ved bat pita. What happens if you shecht the mother, then you shecht the granddaughter, and then you come back and shecht the daughter? So feget arba'im. Then you only get 40. Because when you come to shecht that one animal in between, that animal is only one goof again, even though it's also the daughter of one animal that you shechted and the mother of another animal that you shechted. It has two shemot to it. It's both a daughter and a mother. but it's only one goof. So you only get arba'im, like we saw before. So over here, the Tanakhama says, sofeget arba'im. Sumchos, like sure, what you're saying, Omer, Mishum Rabbi Meir, sofeget shmonim. He's going to get 8 over here. There's shtei shemot over here. You're going to get 80 malkot, not the 40 malkot. Now, Rashi mentions this later in the sugya. Tosafot mentions it over here. Sumchos disagrees, not only in this case, but also in the case before, where shachat shnei banah, v'achar kach shachta. In a case where he did the two children, and then afterwards the mother. Because again, there's shtei shemot isurim. It happens to be the same isur. But there's two isurim being violated there on one goof. And Sumchos will disagree over there as well, and say that you get 80 in that case. Now the Gemara says, Amai, why is this? Now this is a fundamental question. We've been taking for granted until now, throughout the Perek, and in this Mishnah as well, that Oto Vet Beno, and Beno Vet Oto are the same thing. It doesn't matter the direction. The Gemara says, Amai, Oto Vet Beno, Amai Rachmana, Velo Beno Ve Oto. Let's be honest here. The Torah says Oto Vet Beno is the Isur. How do you come up with the fact that Beno Ve Oto is also an Isur? Maybe only if you do it first the parent, or the mother, and then the child, will that be a violation of the Isur of Oto Ve'epino? So when it says, Losakodatcha, Titania, we have a bright Oto Ve'epino, and Liela Oto Ve'epino, only in that direction, Oto Ve'etimo Minayin. How do I know that it works in the other direction as well? Shomer, Lo Tishchatu, Harikan Shnayim. It says it in plural, Lo Tishchatu. Tishchatu means irrespective of the direction, just don't shech both of them. That's what Lo Tishchatu means. So that, it could have said Lo Tishchat, which would be the Isser is only on the Beno. It's only when you've done Oto, then there's an Isser of Lo Tishchat et Beno. The fact that it says Lo Tishchatu means that it applies both to Beno and to Oto. Well, that only works if you believe that it's multidirectional, if it's bidirectional. If you believe it only goes in one direction, there's only one Isser Shchita that's always on the child. If you believe it goes in both directions, then there are two Isurim. There can be an Isur on the child, and there can be an Isur on the parent, or the mother. So that's a great answer. Harikan Shnayim. So now you have two. Haketzad. How could you come into two Isurim? How is that possible? What's the scenario? How is this a possibility where you can have people be Shnayim Chayav? I mean, in one shot, he'll be Chayav for both of them. How does that happen? That happens in a case where you have three animals. You can't have it with one. Automatically, one of the shkitot is mutarot. Because anytime you have oto ve'beno or beno oto, the first shkita is always fine. It's only the second shkita that is problematic. It's the only case where you have arikan shnayim, the two times you'll be chayav both for oto and beno, is if you have three animals. That's one mutar shkita and then a two problematic shkitot. So what's the scenario? The person shechs the para. Then one individual comes and checks the mother, v'echad shochet b'no, and then one checks the child. Because then you have oto ve'b'no, and b'no v'oto. So that's how you can have it. Shnai machronim chayavim. The two latter are actually chayav here. So that's the scenario where I can have lo tishchatu, but it only works when I can go in both directions. It only works if I can go both upward and downwards in terms of the generational direction of these animals. So Gemara says, wait a minute. Hi, mi boy le gufei. We need the lo tishchatu for the actual pasuk. Push shot in the pasuk. It says we need oto ve'beno lo tishchatu. You need to know that it's shchita that makes it asur here. So Gemara says imkein lichtov, as we would have said lo tishchot. If you wanted to say it that way and not have this limud of it being in both directions, then you should have just said oto ve'beno lo tishchot. Because then it would have been clear. Lo tishchot would reference the beno. Because it's written in the singular. You say, don't shech the beno. You can shech the mother. That's not a problem. Lo tishchatu comes and teach me. My lo tishchatu. Lo tishchatu comes and teaches me that it's bidirectional. Vakate mi baile. I still need that lo tishchatu. Dikatavaran of lo tishchot. Havamina chad in trelo. I would think it would have to be a single individual who performed the shkita on both animals to be chayav. But if it was two individuals, one who did the mother, one who did the child, you would not be chayav. Because it says lo tishchot. It's only in the singular form. So kata rachmana lo tishchatu. So therefore lo tishchatu to tell you, even if it's multiple individuals, you're still chayav by oto ve'beno. Vafilu tre. Imkein te klichtov, you could have written lo yishachatu. Right, so that's the Hagot Rauschenberg writes lo yishchetu, or lo yishachetu. Or lo yishachatu, I saw as in another vowelization of the word. But the idea being that I could have had a verb that would have lent me to understand that it's referencing both two people, And it's now in the male form of yishchatu, which would be referencing the ben part of it. So now, my lo tishchatu, what does it mean over here? Now when I change the formulation to lo tishchatu, shmamina, tarte. I can learn two things out. I can learn both that fact that it could be two individuals, as well as the fact that it's bidirectional, that it's whether you did the child first or the mother first, the other one will become a sur. And that I learn out from this change in the conjugation and vowelization of the verb that's there. Next is shachta ve'et bat pita. I'm really a buyer of Yosef. My time at the sumchus. Let's understand what the reasoning behind sumchus is. Is it kasavra sumchus achal shnei zeitei chelev behelam achad? If a person eats two separate zeitim of chelev in one forgetting, chayav shtei chataot. So this is one possibility. One possibility about sumchus' idea is that sumchus believes that as soon as you have a separate entity, that is an entity of Isur, that brings on another Chiyuv. So too, over here, just like by Chataot, if you eat multiple Kazetim of Isur, generally we believe it's in one forgetting, one Helem, you only Chayav once. But maybe Sumchos believes that that's not true. Every Zayit, Kazayit, will make you Chayav another Chatat. And so too over here. Every Isur that's involved here, if there's a mother and a child, if multiple Isurim that are involved over here, you will be Chayav twice. Ubedinhu, Vilishminin Ba'alma. Now truthfully, it would have been a bigger Chiddush to teach us this by Shogeg and by Chataot, and they should have told us this. V'haydeka Mashmalan Baha. So why did they bring a Sumchos Zushita here in Otobet Beno in a strange case? That's to teach you the power of the Rabbanan. That even though here, over the case over here, there's two different gufim involved with it, Pachi Rabbanan. The Rabbanan still say you're patur. Even though the Isur relates to two different gufim, over here when you shech the animal, as Shaul pointed out before, there is oto and there's beno. It relates to a mother and the child that you're going to be chayav for. So there's two separate gufim, two separate Isurin over here, really. Meaning that since the Rabbanan have this unusual opinion within Oto Ve'Beno, this is Oto Ve'Beno in Shas. So we brought it over here in the Mishnah in Shas of Oto Ve'Beno. So yes, Enoch and Ami belongs in a Mishnah in Kritut. Enoch and Ami, that's where it should have been found, but it's here because of that unusual issue. Odilma kasar sumchos achal shnei zeitei chalav b'lam echad einu chayav l'achad. V'holcha einu taimo, holyu v'gufim mechulakim. The reason for sumchos over here is that it's gufim mechulakim. He doesn't hold in general that way. I'm laying. That's what he goes, yes. That's his answer. He says, no, you're right. These are the two possibilities in Sumchos. I'm telling you that if Sumchos holds, that even if you ate two Zeitei Chelev, where it's one goof, and there's no real separation, it's a Helam Echad over there. It's the same Chelev, it's the same individual eating. Over there, you'll still be Chayav Shtei Chatot. All right, so now, the Gemara says, Mimai, how do you know that that's Sumchos' position? Midetnan, it's really Midetanya. We have a bright Zoreya Kilayim. Person who plants Kilayim, plants Kilayim twice. Loke. My Loke. What does this mean? Ilayim a Loke Achat. That he gets one set of Malkot. Pshita. You don't have to give me it. Why do I need a bright to teach me that you plant Kilayim that you get one set of Malkot? Vote. My Kilayim Kilayim. What does it mean? Why does the bright then say you did it twice? What's the difference? Once or twice to get Malkot? Elapshita bet malkiot. That you're getting two sets of makot for planting kilaim over here. But my eskinan. Ilima bezechaze ubishte hachot. If you're going back at it, happens sequentially. And he's warned each time. Don't plant kilaim. That's a pshita, tanina. That's an explicit mishnah. Nazir sheyashote yayin kolayom. If a nazir is drinking wine all day long, enu chayav lachat. If he's warned once and he drinks wine all day, he's only chayav once. Amrulo altishte bushote, altishte bushote. They keep warning him, don't drink, and he continues to drink. He'll be chayav on each warning. Chayav al kol achad v'achad. So over here, on every warning of kilayim that he plants, as he plants, if he keeps planting, as they say, don't plant, he's going to be chayav for each time that he plants, or each warning that he is given. Even though we're talking about a braita versus a mishnah over here, and then many times we have braita that repeat exactly what a mishnah says. So Tosfot says, what's the big deal? Okay, the Braita is saying something that a Mishnah says. What do you mean, Tanina? We saw it in a Mishnah already. Braita many times. That's the whole point of a Braita. It repeats what a Mishnah says. So Tosfot says, Braita would bring a case that's identical to the case of the Mishnah. The Mishnah has a case that teaches us that din by Nazir. Why would a Braita bring that din down in Kilayim? If the Braita was going to repeat what was in the Mishnah, it should have used Nazir. The fact that it did it in Kilayim means it must be teaching us something different. So what's that? Elabshita bevat achat ubatra achat. Talking about a case when it happened simultaneously. Ubatra achat. So now, Tosfot says, Perush ubatra achat vafilu bezechar zeh. He says not that it's bat achat and hatra achat. Rather, either it's bat achat, or it's hatra achat when he does two pilulot. Either way, it'll be the same thing. Money. Who can be the author of such a position? If you say it's Rabbanon, the pligalei de sumchos, the argon sumchos, hashto mahatam de gufim mechulakim, and our Mishnah patri Rabbanon, even when it's gufim mechulakim, when we're telling two different isurim, they say one malkot, hacha lokoshike, over here by kilayim, it's the same violation, it's kilayim, in the same, we're using the same object, and the same person is doing it. What's the question over here? Ella lav sumchosi. Isn't it Sumchos the author of this position? And if Sumchos is the author of this position, now, we know that Sumchos believes in every Isur, that if you do the Shi'ur twice, you're going to be Chaya. You planted twice, one Hatra, no problem, you're going to be Chaya twice, just like Beitu Kzeitech, it's going to make you Chaya. It says, no. The Olam Rabbanon. Umilta Gav Orche Kamash Malon. We're going back to the original assumption that we're talking about it's Bezech Hazer, and you're warning him each time. Mashman, Dikatre Gavne Kilayim. That there are actually two types of Kilayim. You can actually have two Kilayim over here. So, but he actually could be in violation of two different forms of Kilayim. Lafuke Midr Yoshia. This comes to exclude the position of Raboshia. Dam Raboshia. Ad Shizrach Hitam Besoura Bechatsan Mepapolot Yad. In order to be in violation of Kilayim, according to Rabbi Yoshia, you have to plant chita se'ora, wheat, barley, and chartzan would be a grape seed in one shot in order to be in violation of Kidaya Keren. So, Kamash Malon, over here, the Kamash Malon is dechi, zora, chita v'chartzan. Oh, se'ora v'chartzan, nami mechayev. Whether you planted wheat and a grape, or barley and a grape, you're a chayav for kilayim in both of those scenarios. So that's what it comes to teach us. No, the Rabbanim will be the author of this baraita. It's one chiyuv, but you can come into the Isur of kilayim in two different ways. That's what they're coming to teach you. Not that, again, there's no chiddush in that if it was done at different times, all that. That's no chiddush. The only chiddush is that you can violate kilayim in two different ways. Now, Tosafot does point out over here that Rabbi Yoshua says that there's no kilei hakerem over here by chita v'sara v'chartzan, will believe that there's kilei zraim there. Okay? If you did chita v'chartzan, or you did chita v'sara, that there is kilei zraim, even without the chartzan being there. So Tosafot says that there was an alternative girsa in the Sfarim that says, Jacob Mikhaim, kilei zraim, kilei hakerem, chita v'sara, be a violation of kilei zraim, chita v'chartzan, be a violation of kilei hakerem. That you could have it be chita and sora and chita and chartzan, which according to Rabbi Yoshia, will both be a violation of kilei zraim, but not kilei hakerem. Just a little alternative that Tosafot offers over here. We don't have a proof that sumchos holds that by two gzeitim you would be chayav. So tashma, achal mizek zayit, umizek zayit. If he eats one gzeit from there, one gzeit from here, sofeg shmonim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, eno sofeg alamem. He only gets 40. Here we're talking about the gidin asher, the gidin asher of the right and left legs. So if he eats, according to the Tanakhama, a kazayit from one the right leg and a kazayit from the left leg, it's chayav 80. Yehuda Meir, no sefeg alamem. He only gets 40 because Rabbi Yehuda believes that only one of the two legs is gidin asher. He doesn't know which one, but only one of the two is actually gidin asher. Hey chidami, ilim abizach azef, he did it sequentially, ubishte achutot, and two warnings, my time with Rabbi Yehuda. Why would Rabbi Yehuda say that you're chayav? If you do it, both legs, and he does hachrab sequentially, so you have each leg here, you do it sequentially. According to the Chachamim, you understand why you get 80, because they think you're in violation for every leg. According to Rabbi Yehuda, who says you're at least in violation of one over here, that's not true. Because if you do it in two separate warnings, Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that's hachrat safeki. He doesn't know which leg is the wrong leg. When you warn him not to eat the right leg, we're not sure that that's gidin hasheh. When you warn him to eat not to eat the left leg, we also don't know if that's gidin hasheh. So each hatra'ah that you're giving him is hatra'at safek, because we're really not sure if this is gidin hasheh. Shemina le Rabbi Yehuda damar hatra'at safek lo shema hatra'ah. Titanya, hika et zeh v'chazer v'ki at zeh, kilel et zeh v'chazer v'ki at zeh, o shika shneem bevat achat, o shkel shneem bevat achat chayav. That's the Tanakhama. Yehuda omer bevat achat chayav bezer chazer patur. Send me a case, a woman who remarries within 3 months of her previous marriage, she is pregnant, has a child. We are uncertain as to whether the child is 9 months from the first husband or 7 months from the second husband. In order to be mechayav for cursing one's father, hitting one's father, we have to know that it's their father. So what happens if he goes ahead and he hits both fathers? Or he curses both fathers? So the Tanna Kamma says, chayav. Buda says no. If it's bezechar zeh, you can't be chayav. That's a tratz safek. With each father, we're not sure if it's his father. If he does it bevat achad, then we're certain he hit his father. So then you can give hachad vadai. Then you can say, I give hachad vadai because he hit his father. So Ella, now we have to go back and explain what the case is. So we know for sure, if Rabbi Yehuda believes hachad safek, ain't a shma hatra'ah. That's not a good hatra'ah. If it's not a good hatra'ah, then our explanation of the Gidin Asher case cannot be a case of zeh or zeh. Cannot be a case where it's sequential and two hatra'ot. So Rabbi Yehuda, then you wouldn't be chayav 40, you'd be chayav nothing. Because each leg independently can't give a warning that it's hatra'ah. So Ella, we now have to go back to this Mishnah in Gidin Asher and say, Pshita, b'vat achat to b'tra achat. Must be a case where he ate both legs simultaneously. And there was one warning, don't eat Gidin Asher. Now we're certain he's eating Gidin Asher, because he ate both legs. So we know for certain then he ate the Gidin Asher. Uman Tanna Kamma, then. Who's the Tanna Kamma when you eat both legs with one warning that you get 80 malkot? Who would say that? Ilay Marabonan, that Piligale Bisumkos. If you think it's Rabbanan arguing Sumkos, Hashra Mahatam, the Gufi Mikulakim, Patri Rabbanan. Case where it's Gufi Mikulakim, the Rabbanan say you get one malkot. Certainly over here you should get one malkot when we're dealing with the same Isur. Just an Isur of Gidin Asher. And one individual eating Gidin Asher. Lav Sumkosi, must be Sumkos. Mar says, no, lo olam bezeach hazeh. No, it's talking about sequential. Virabonan. Vahai Tana Savalaki Idach Tana de Rabbi Yehuda. And this Tana holds like the other Tana de Rabbi Yehuda, Damar Tretzafek, Shma Hatra'ah. There's a machloket in Rabbi Yehuda Shita, whether he holds a tretzafek is or is not considered a tretzafek. The Tanya. You have a right to lo tutur menuat boker. You're not allowed to leave over a korban until the morning. Here it's talking about the korban of Pesach. But the term menuat boker beish tisrofu. And if you do leave it over until the morning, it has to be burnt. Ba'katuv litein asei achar lo tasei. This is the classic case of lav hanitak liasei. Because lav hanitak liasei, lomar sheino ukin alav dir Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says you don't get malkot for that because it's a lavani takta say. Rabbi Yaakov Omer, lo min hashem uzeh. That's not the reason you don't get malkot here. El mishom, davele lav shem bo maseh. It's a lav shem bo maseh. Lo totiru menu baboker is an inactive, passive way. You have to leave it until the morning. There's no activity there. That's right, you're part of a chol lav shem bo maseh in lo kin alav. From that, we learn two things about Rabbi Yehuda. Number one, which is brought many times in Shas, that Rabbi Yehuda believes that you're lokin alav shem bo maseh. Because otherwise, he should have said the same thing Rabbi Yaakov says. The fact that he doesn't shows you that he believes you would get malkot for a lav she'im bo maseh. The second thing you learn from this is that hatrat safek shma hatra. Because whenever you give the guy a warning, don't leave it over, they'll say, yeah, okay, there's still time where you could eat it, and it won't be considered left over. Until it's left over at the final moment, unless it gives hatra at the last second before it turns over to being notar, everything is a tratz of fake, because we don't know if he's going to leave it over in the end. He could always eat it and rectify the situation. So that's a tratz of fake. And Rabbi Yehuda says, doesn't qualify his hitting. He says, you could be chayav for lotu to remain at boker if it wasn't for the assay. What do you mean it wasn't for the assay? There's a tratz of fake here. So it must be that this Tana holds that Rabbi Yehuda believes that tratz of fake is okay to be chayav. If that's the case, that will solve our problem. It's a case of zech or zeh with two hatrot. The reason he's mechayav one and not zero is because he believes hatratz fake, shma hatra, based on this, Brighta of Lotutur Menu Ad Boker. Okay, we'll stop over here.